Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. You know, if you go down the street, any street in South Carolina anyway, I don't know everywhere, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, I'd say Mississippi, Alabama, any of those streets you go down and you would ask people if they were going to heaven, I'd say 9 out of 10 of them would say yes. Now, they don't know what that means, but they think they do. They think they do. And so I got to think about that, and I've thought about it many times before. How do you recognize those who are going to heaven? How do you recognize them? Now, if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, there ought to be some recognizable characteristics about us. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now he said, if you're saved, you ought to know it. You'll know he did a work to do a work in your life so that he could purge you from those ungodly works and turn you, change your conscience, your mind, your spirit, everything, and turn you from dead works to serve a living God. Now that tells me, Brother Rick, we'll be able to recognize one another. We should. And I've heard it, and you've heard it, and some of you may have even said it. Well, you can't judge me. I don't have to. You do that yourself. And I'm going to show you tonight just a few things, and I'll let you go. And you young people, listen to me now. I don't want you young people to get a counterfeit. There's a lot of kids get a counterfeit Christianity. You know what a counterfeit is? A counterfeit is something that looks like the real thing, but it's a fake. It's like Monopoly money compared to real money. That's a counterfeit. You take that Monopoly $100 bill down to the store and give it that cashier, they'll put you in jail if you try to spend that because it's not real. But if you got the real $100 bill, you can get anything you want in that store. And so there are counterfeit Christians. And a lot of them don't even know they're counterfeits. You take that $20 counterfeit bill that somebody made, that bill doesn't know it's a counterfeit. It looks like a 20. It says 20. I guess it assumes it's a 20, but it's not. It's just a piece of paper with something painted on it, and it's not real. And there's a lot of Christians or people that think they're Christians. They really do. They think they're Christians. They've got the stamp. They've got the church stamp on them. They've got the baptism stamp on them. They've got some good work stamped on them. Maybe a good family, a good background stamped on them. And they think they're Christians. A lot of them think they are when they're not. And when I talk to people, they say, I ask them, I say, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah. But I honestly believe that a lot of people are deceived. They think they are when they are not, because nobody has ever told them the truth, because they're afraid to offend them. Well, let me tell you something. The gospel is offensive. Amen. For somebody to tell you you're a dirty, rotten sinner and you're to die and go to a devil's hell, that will offend you, and it ought to. But it's not the gospel that's offensive, it's your sins. And all you're doing is reacting to something that hurts your feelings, and you said it offended you when it really didn't. The gospel is what offended you, not the person that said it. So I got thinking about this. In John 3:3, Jesus said unto him, all of you know it, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Now, a lot of people think they're saved, but they've never been born again. They've never had a new birth. Now, don't get me wrong, they may have had a new start. They may have went through a rehab program and came out better, which that'd be good as physically speaking, but it wouldn't do you any good spiritually speaking. I've known men to go to jail for a long time and get out and come out a different man, a better man. But they didn't get saved. They didn't get born again. They learned some things and it changed their life, but they didn't get spiritually born again. They did not have a new birth. They had a new start. Anybody can make a new start, but not anybody can go to heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. So saved people are regenerated people. They've not just joined the church. Are you listening, young people? They're not just joining the church. They didn't just get baptized. One day, God, the Holy Spirit, met them and they met Him, and He did a regeneration inside of them. He regenerated them. He made them brand new. Billy Boatwright back there used to regenerate radiators. They'd bring those old rotten, ugly radiators in there, you know, leaking water. He'd take them things and rebuild them, make them like brand new. And that's what God does on the inside of us. He takes the old rotten sinner and He regenerates. He makes you into a new person. And I'm afraid a lot of people are not going to heaven that think they are because they've never been regenerated. They've never been born again. It's a supernatural, spiritual birth. It cannot be done by natural means. Therefore, baptism can't do it, as Church of Christ teaches sometimes. Some of them do. Speaking in tongues doesn't mean you're saved. That can't do it. Joining the church can't do it. That doesn't regenerate you. Quitting drinking, lying, cussing, cheating, stealing, doping, whatever you do, that does not save you. That's not a regeneration. A regeneration is being born again from the inside out, not the outside in. And I'm afraid a lot of people think they're going to heaven, but I'll just go ahead and tell you, people can look at you and talk to you and be around you and tell whether or not you've been regenerated. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That, hey, this thing right here is a dipper and this is a well and it'll reach down there and pull out and Jesus said it will. Yes. Amen. And then not only that, but in Luke 9:62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, people on their way to heaven are, I don't know any other way to put it than the way the old Presbyterians used to put it. They're persevering people. They persevere. They don't quit. They don't give up. They don't throw in the towel. They may fall down, but they get back up. Amen. They may fail, but they don't lose their faith. Amen. They persevere. And no matter whatever happens to them, they're going to keep on believing and they're going to keep on seeking the Lord and keep on trying to love Him and obey Him and have Him in their life. They'll persevere. And sometimes we'll look at people and say, and everything's against them. Everybody in their house is an unbeliever but them. And everything works against them at home. Then they go down to the job, and everything on the job, everybody down there is an unbeliever. And it all works against them. And then it seems like circumstances sometimes works against them. They'll end up getting some old sorry job where they can't go to church like they ought to, or they can't serve God when they ought to. But they keep on going, and they keep on persevering, and they don't give up, and they don't give in. I can tell you who ain't going to heaven. You ever met anybody and they say, well, you a Christian? They say, I used to be. You never were. You never were. There's no such thing as an unborn new birth. I mean, just like he said, how can I be born again, go back into my mother's womb? Well, how in the world are you going to get unborn once you've been reborn? The new birth cannot be undone. And you can recognize people when you talk about going to heaven. If you say, are you going to heaven? They'll say, well, I hope so. Well, I'm trying. Well, no, 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 no. Come, excuse the expression, but listen. And well, I won't use it. Listen, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how bad it gets, a person that's on their way to heaven will not turn back. Now, they might fall, but they'll get back up. A good man falls seven times. He'll get back up. And look, they may have fell 100 times, but they keep getting back up. And it seems like all the circumstances, everybody they know, everywhere they go, everything that's all around them works against them, but they keep on believing and they keep on going. That's a saint on their way to heaven. The Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint toward that cross. He made up his mind, I'm going to die for the sins of the world. My mind cannot be changed. I cannot be detoured. I cannot be turned around. He set his face like a flint rock. You know how hard that is? And that's the way real Christians are. Amen? Vestal Goodman used to sing that song, I'm on my way to heaven and I ain't going to turn back now. Amen. I love it. And Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. We got a few minutes, and I left my watch at home. In Acts 14:22, and I know y'all love that I left my watch at home. In verse 22, he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, people on the way to heaven are enduring people. They endure things, buddy. And we go through this room tonight. Y'all young people, listen to me. We go through this room tonight, and some of you ain't even interested in going to heaven. You're not. It ain't even entered your mind yet. But we go through this room tonight, and we could hear some hair-raising stories about what some people in this room have had to go through since they've been saved. The old devil's run them up one side and down the other, and the world has too, and yet they've endured. They keep on keeping on. They keep on believing. They will not be deterred. They will not be denied. They won't be detoured. They're going to endure unto the end. Now, that's how you know somebody's going to heaven. I can't stand this crowd that's in one day, out the next day, saved one day, ain't saved the next day, living right one day, ain't living right the next day, up on the mountaintop one day, down in the hole the next day, running around with a pity party all the time. Listen, the saints of God, they grin and bear it, bless God. Just go on, grin and bear it. Some of you kids ain't seen nothing yet. You've had it so easy. You don't know what we've been through. Hey, as you get older and you finally get born again, you'll know what we're talking about then. Amen? But you'll endure if you're going to heaven. You'll endure it. People will look at you and they'll say, I don't know how they do that. And you can look at them and say, by the grace of God, I just keep on going. You can recognize people on their way to heaven. I don't care what this new worldly crowd says. I don't care what the hippie church says. You can recognize people on their way to heaven by their attitude and their altitude. Amen? You know they're going to heaven. Hey, have you ever worked around anybody or maybe went to school with somebody and you thought, boy, if there ever was a Christian, there it is right there. It should be that way. There was a time in America to where church members were different than the rest of the world. Because at least they professed they were going to heaven. Amen? Well, now you can't tell the devil from the Lord's crowd, man. And they endured. People quit now at the drop of a hat. Well, you know, the preacher didn't speak to me Sunday. You know, I had a toenail took off. He didn't even come over and pray with me. It's the truth. It's the truth. Well, you know, his wife hadn't spoken to me in 2 weeks. Let me tell you, children of God, that stuff like that don't bother us. Amen? We're on our way to heaven. We don't have that little piddling stuff going on. A fellow came to church one time. He said, preacher, did you miss me? I said, what? He said, I ain't been to church in 3 weeks. I said, I didn't even know she was gone, man. He got mad. Well, how would he? He didn't come but once every 2 or 3 months. And I'm going to tell you something else. Matthew 5:3, real quick. You ain't listening fast enough. Matthew 5:3. Preacher Coley used to call me the comedian preacher when I'd say stuff like that. I said, "Preacher, we got to laugh sometimes." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Did you know the poor in spirit? You know what that means? Humble people. Humble people. You know, people on their way to heaven, you know, we don't have to be at the top of the heap. We don't have to be recognized. We don't have to be rewarded. You don't have to pat us on the back. You hadn't got to call out our name every week, every time you see us. And we don't have to get trophies and all this stuff. We're on our way to heaven. All that stuff don't mean anything to us anymore. You go ahead and get it. We don't need it. And that's humility is what that is. You don't have to be in first place. You don't have to be recognized. That's humility, see. And people on their way to heaven have it. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you ever want to see something opposite of humble, go to some preacher meetings. I'm telling you, woo! That's some of the most arrogant, proud, boastful people I ever met in my life. I go to those things, I'll go to revival or a camp meeting or something, and they'll say, let's recognize the preachers. I don't want to be recognized. Y'all stand up, give us your name. I don't want them to know my name. I don't care about that. Get on with the preaching. Don't recognize preachers. Get on. Get God in here. Recognize Him. Amen. People on the way to heaven, we don't have to be rewarded. We're getting our reward on the other side. Amen. Amen. And boy, Romans 3:21 is a good one. Oh my, it's going to get quiet now. Romans 3:21, I'm talking about people, how you can recognize them. They're on their way to heaven. How you know, preacher? Romans 3:21 is a good one. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Do you know what he's saying? The righteousness of God is manifested in us. People on their way to heaven are, hey, listen, they're righteous people. They're righteous people. What's that? Preacher, what does that mean, right? They're trying to live right. They're trying to talk right. They're trying to dress right, behave right, live right, work right, pay their taxes. Look, we're the silent majority in this country, the ones on their way to heaven. We're the silent majority. Look, the righteous people in on their way to heaven, they're not out there breaking the law. The law is manifested by the Word of God, by the prophets and the written law, and that's manifested through our lives. Well, preacher, you know we're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it's not of works, lest him. And you're absolutely right. But go read James. He said, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. He said, because faith without works is dead. You know what he's saying? You're just bragging about something you don't even do. That's all you're doing. You don't know nothing about you, just talking. Hey, put some action on those words you're talking about. So many people say they're going to heaven. They do nothing. They do nothing for God. They live for themselves. They live completely 100% for themselves. Are you listening, young people? If you get on your way to heaven, you will live right. You'll obey God. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. You're not ever going to get that till you get to heaven. But you're going to try, and you're going to strive, and you're going to work at it. And you're not just going to stumble through the world and whatever happens, happens, and you get involved in it. This stuff out, is it Milwaukee now? Where is it at now? Do you know what's wrong there? You've got thousands of people sitting around all day long without a job, and the government pays their rent, they got a place to live, and the government buys their groceries, they've got food to eat, and the government sends them a little check for every child they got money to spend, and they're running around out there because they're bored, they got nothing to do, and it's all a big party to them. They don't care who shot who. I remember when I was a teenager back in the 60s, in the mid-60s and late-60s, there was a lot of race riots and things like that going on in South Carolina. And I'll never forget, late at night on the weekend, you know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, a bunch of us boys be hanging out somewhere, you know, a couple hundred boys just sitting around the hood of their car, ain't got nothing to do, and got a little money in your pockets, you know, and probably spending on something you ought not spend it on. And somebody drive up and say, man, there's a fire over yonder on the other side of town. 20 cars would fly to the fire. If we had a bottle of gasoline, we'd have thrown it on it. Or somebody say, there's a riot down there on Black Street. All of us be down there on Black Street to get in on it. It was just a party. That's all. We didn't care what it meant. There was no purpose. It was just something to do. And that's exactly what's going on out there. And look, you can't be right with God and just run to and fro in the earth trying to get into stuff. Some of you teenagers just fight at school. Somebody says fight, and every youngin' in school run over there to watch that fight. They don't care who's hurting who. They don't care one's bigger than the other one. They don't care it ain't a fair fight. They just want to see something. Ain't that right? Say amen. Ain't that right? You was one of them run over. I know you were. All of you did. Listen, Christians on their way to heaven, we may not be perfect, but we sure are trying to be right. Amen? You know, if everybody said they was going to heaven in Rock Hill, we wouldn't have to have locks on the doors. You wouldn't have to lock your car. You wouldn't have to lock the church. Some of these neighborhoods, if you leave something in the yard tonight, it will be gone tomorrow. But if everybody said they were going to heaven was really going, that wouldn't be happening. They'd raise their youngins right. If one of my youngins come home with a bicycle and said, I found it on the side road, I'd say, put it in the car and let's take it back where you found it on the side road. You didn't find it. You stole it. Amen. It don't belong to you. Don't have your name on it. But see, there's so many Christians that they just don't want to be right. They know nothing about the law of God, so they have no desire for it. Are you listening? And then in Hebrews chapter 10, since we're there, look at verse 9, I think it is. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, he says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing. That's Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, people on their way to heaven are faithful people. They're faithful. Look, when you got saved, you got regenerated, you got born again, nobody had to beat the law of God into you. God put it in your heart. Now you want to obey God. You were a rebel. You were. You were rebelling against God. You were at enmity with God. You were his enemy. But he put the law of God in your heart when you got saved. Now, nobody should have to beg you to do anything for God. Nobody's ever begged me to do anything. I've tried to be faithful. If I wasn't working, wasn't sick, and I absolutely could, I was at church. I'm talking about before I was preaching, before I was pastor. Hey, if something needed to be done and I could do it, I'd volunteer to do it. They didn't have to draft me. I wanted to do it. Look, God's people on their way to heaven are faithful people. We got people right now, I'll guarantee you, Well, you told me how it worked the other day, Billy. You didn't realize it. I was thinking about this then. You didn't realize it. Billy said when he first got saved, he got in a church, and they made him a deacon after a while. And said that church, the pastor wanted to pull out of the Southern Baptist Convention and be an independent church, and they were going to have a vote on it. And said when they found out about it down at the association office, those big wheels down there called every former member they could find. They got the old church rolls, and called those people and told them what was going on. And he said when they got to church, couldn't even get in the building. There were so many people they'd never seen because their name was still on the church roll, but they'd never seen them, unfaithful people. Their name might have been on the roll, but I doubt it was on that roll up there. And if you go around this town, and you take all the Baptist church rolls and put them side by side, you'd see where this one guy has joined 15 churches and he ain't never been faithful to any of them, and he's never removed his name off the first one yet. And they think he's still a member there. Say, hey, people on their way to heaven's faithful people. I don't browbeat people. Sometimes people walk out here and say, "Preacher, that was rough today. That was a hard sermon." Y'all ain't never heard a hard sermon. You ought to get around some of us old folks. We'll tell you what hard preaching is. Hey, I've been to church, saved on my way to heaven, serving God faithfully, and by the time I left there, I felt like a dog, man. That preacher beat me to death. He preached against everything but chewing gum. Get some of that next time. But I've got news for you. Faithfulness is the number one trait of people on their way to heaven. Y'all awful quiet tonight. I can't help it, y'all. Y'all just awful quiet. Philippians 3:20. Now listen. Philippians 3:20 for our conversation. That means lifestyle. The way we live, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know what? We'll to be expecting people. We'll to be people expecting Jesus to come back. If you're on your way to heaven, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'm going to come again, receive you unto myself." Those angels that day in Acts chapter 1 said, "Why y'all stand gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus is coming in like manner. As you see him go up, he's coming back again." And we'll to be expecting that every day. I'm disappointed every day that he doesn't come. But let's be honest, if we're really expecting it, we're going to live different than everybody else. Hey, man asked me one time, he said, "You think a man can be saved and go to the beer joint?" I said, "I think he can, but I don't think he can be a good Christian and go to the beer joint." Well, Jesus drank with the wine bibbers. Yeah, but he didn't drink with the drunkards. He rebuked them. Let me tell you something. You can find any excuse you want to not to live for God, but that's not going to change the fact that he's coming back. When he comes back, we're going to give account for the deeds done in the body. Every one of us. That's saved. And people on their way to heaven should be expecting Jesus to come. How in the world can we look around us and see all the things going on and not say Jesus is coming at any minute? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Are we not there? Are we not there? You know what perilous times are, young people? That's when you don't know if they're going to burn your city down or not. That's when you don't know if the Muslim's going to chop off your mama's head tomorrow. That's when you don't know if your president's going to be a crook or not. That's when you don't know if your politicians are going to shut the churches down next week or not. We're living in perilous times, folks. And he's coming. You know what? He's going to come, and I really believe this. He's going to come, and when he gets here and he takes us out of here, those real believers, there's going to be people, I believe this, people are going to show up for church that next Sunday right here and say, "Well, we ain't seen them in 6 months." And they say, "Where's everybody at? They didn't tell me they wasn't having church today." Well, they didn't tell us they wasn't coming for 6 months either. I'm serious, people will show up at this church after the rapture and expect me and you who are believers to be here because they were not expecting him to come. I just hope to get a good song leader. I know they ain't going to get a good piano player, but they don't like your kind of music anyway, brother. Amen. And I know they can find some pussy-footing, nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching preacher. There'll be plenty of them left. Amen. But he's coming. people who are going to heaven, you can recognize them. Don't let any compromiser tell you different. You can recognize Christians. Cheryl, how many is in your family? Siblings. How many siblings you have? If you saw them tomorrow, would you know them?
Yeah,
sure. Sure you would. How many you got in your family? Six or seven. If you saw them tomorrow, would you know them? You know why? You're in the same family. Mm-hmm. Billy, how many you got? I know you got a brother.
Got two left.
But if you saw them tomorrow, you'd know them. There's some traits, there's some characteristics, there's some things about our family that it's very recognizable and there's no mistaking it. And Christianity in America used to be the same way. And I don't read in the Bible anywhere where it's supposed to change. And I'd hate to be somebody with one foot in and one foot out. Yeah, because Jesus looked them in the eye and said, How long halt you between? That wasn't Jesus, that was Elijah. How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal, the devil, if he's God, serve him. But don't put one foot over here and one foot over there. That's a hypocrite. And you can recognize them pretty easy too, buddy.
Amen.
Let's be true this week. Let's be people that are, let's be people that can be picked out of a crowd. Let's be those peculiar people. Let's be those aliens and strangers, he calls us. Amen? We're not illegal aliens. We're heavenly aliens. Amen? We are pilgrims. And we're looking for a city, and it ain't down here. And look, people ought to know that about us. Or are we one of those people that says, well, the crowd looks at us and says, well, if he's one of them, the woods is full of them. I don't want to be that one. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I